The news, of course, very much to the fore over the last 24 hours, the murder in East Belfast. I want to speak to Kieran Barnes from the Sunday Life. Kieran, good morning.
Hi, Frank. How's things?
Very good, Kieran. I must say, the more I read about this and your own commentary on it, the more sinister it actually is, or if anything can be even more sinister than it first seemed, with someone getting stabbed to death. Just remind us of who Ian Ogle is and how he came to be basically butchered in the street.
Frank, Ian was a prominent loyalist from the Clun Place area on the, in East Belfast, in inner city East Belfast. He was involved with the Ulster People's Forum a while back, and he would be seen as someone with influence within that small cul-de-sac at the bottom of the Albert Bridge Road there. About a year or so ago, his relatives became involved in a dispute with UVF members in a bar in East Belfast, and since then, both his relatives and Ian were the subject of threats, were the subject of intimidation. Ian had to leave his workplace in Newton Orange as a result of the intimidation. He had relatives beaten up. He himself was told to present himself for a punishment beating, where he would have his arms broken. He refused. Now, what happened on Sunday was a relative of Ian's got involved in a row on the Bearsbridge Road. It was with one UVF member. On the back of that, the UVF sent a punishment team on the streets of East Belfast looking for the relative of Ian Ogle. When they couldn't find the relative, they attacked Ian and they butchered him outside his home in Clun Place.
What weaponry did they go armed with?
They used knives. They also had bats. Now, from talking to people who were at the scene, and this is it's absolutely horrific, I'm told, and I'm reliably told by witnesses, that after they stabbed Ian the first time, and they went away, one of them then came back and repeatedly stabbed him again and had to be dragged off by his co-attackers.
And his daughter then intervened while her father was dying and broadcast some of this on social media.
She did, yeah. She filmed part of it, and she quite clearly attributed blame to the UVF at the scene. Now, I think as bad as that is, and as shocking as that is, to see a man lying in a pool of his own blood while his daughter, clearly distraught, is wailing. The other key thing I think about that video is that while this is going on, neighbours of Ian are cautioning the young girl. They're saying, I'm paraphrasing here, but they're saying, no, don't be saying anything more. You know, you aren't doing your daddy any good. But that shows the grip of fear that people are in from paranoides in East Belfast. You know, when you have neighbours of Ian Ogle telling his daughter, no, don't say any more, don't say anything else, you'll only make the situation worse. That shows you how they're under the jackboot of fear from paramilitaries.
And the UVF, it would be clear from your investigations, your understanding of criminality all over the city, that the UVF would have been behind this.
Yeah, no, I must make this clear. This was not sanctioned at a leadership level. This was sanctioned at a local level. When the information started coming out yesterday, I'm told the UVF leader in East Belfast went absolutely mad. There was a meeting held last night between senior UVF figures in East Belfast, and he read the Riot Act to them. Now, while it wasn't sanctioned at a leadership level, it was certainly sanctioned at a local level. After Ian Ogle's relative was involved in the row on the Bearsbridge Road last night, the person he was involved in the clash with went and made a complaint to the UVF. The UVF sent out a team of 4 to 5 men, armed with knives and hammers. You know, they were going out to do one thing. When you arm yourself with a knife and you go onto the streets and a gang looking at someone, the only thing that can follow is murder.
So what will the next step be then from the leadership of the UVF? Will they cooperate with the police to ensure that these murderers are arrested and charged? Or do they just, as you say, read the Riot Act and do nothing more?
Yeah. Well, my information is that they have ordered the people, have told the people who were involved in this to hand themselves in now. But that doesn't include the leader at a local level who gave the green light for this murder. I'm told he'll be stood down and he'll be discarded. But he won't face the courts. He's too well thought of. He's too close to the leadership in East Belfast. But the guys who actually carried out the murder, they, you know, my understanding is that they have been told to hand themselves in.
And how does that hatred brew where, you know, there's an overall leader who's looking down on another leader who he respects, who will then send out some people armed with knives to just basically to butcher someone in the street? If they can't find the person they're looking for, they'll go to another relative and knife them to death. How does that sort of person develop within almost, you know, if I look out the window, I can see where it's all happening. It's like something you would hear about in the Middle East.
Yeah, it's mafia style, gangsterism. That's all it is. Now, I must say this, over the past, certainly for the first time in 12 years since David Irvine died, these Belfast UVF have been trying to engage with the media. They have been trying to show the positive things that they have been doing in East Belfast. There has been good work done around bonfires in the past year. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. There has been good work done around interface violence in and around the Short Strand and Lower Albert Bridge Road, Lower Newton Arch Road. But all that good work, it's absolutely ruined. It's destroyed. Because what stakeholder will want to involve himself with a gang that sends people out onto the streets to murder others? What government department would want to involve themselves with that? What charity? What politician? You know, all the good work that has been going on within loyalism in East Belfast over the past 18 months has been utterly destroyed. It's been ruined.
And is there a direct link between the likes of these people who would go out and stab someone they know to death and general criminality, drugs dealing and whatever?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you only have to look at the last government report on paramilitarism, which was commissioned in 2015 after the IRA linked murder of Kevin McGuigan. It states quite clearly that paramilitaries are up to their necks in drug dealing, gangsterism, extortion.
And the police, can we be confident that the police will bring the people to the courts who carried out this murder? Will they, will they go after the godfathers?
No, I don't think they'll go after the godfathers. I don't think there's a will. Where to go after the godfathers? What you have is the paramilitary crime task force, which was set up in 2017, and it is targeting senior paramilitaries, but I just don't... The people they've brought before the court so far haven't been at a senior level. They've always been at a mid level or a lower level. So no, I don't. These people who run the UVF in East Belfast, they've existed for decades. They've been at the top for 20 years. You know, I don't think there's any danger of any of them being pulled before the courts. I really don't. The people who carried out the murder of Ian Ogle, yeah, I'd say there's a good chance it was haphazard. It wasn't well planned. I'm told the guys who done it were drunk. There's a suspicion that they were on drugs as well. Given the frenzied nature of the attack. So there's certainly enough DNA evidence, forensic evidence, and CCTV evidence, along with witness evidence, to put them in the courts. But as far as the people who sent them out to murder Ian Ogle, no, I really cannot see that happening.
Ian Ogle himself was a member of the UVF, or had been a member of the UVF. He was convicted for rioting. But his life, if we can believe reports that we get locally, his life basically had changed, hadn't it?
He had, yeah, since the row he had with a family row that they had with UVF members over a year ago, he had moved away from it. He was involved in a church on the Albert Bridge Road there, and he was actually praying with a pastor when the gang attacked him. He was standing in clear place on Sunday evening praying with a pastor when he was set upon.
Standing in the street actually praying, not aware that he was going to be attacked?
No, the gang came around. They were after a relative of his. The relative wasn't there, so they attacked Ian. But he was with a pastor at the time. He died in the pastor's arms.
It's like, as you describe it, it's like something that's in a parallel universe, what's happening on our doorstep. People living lives that the vast majority of us simply don't understand.
Well, you see, you say that about the vast majority of us don't understand, Frank, but if you're about in any working class community, in Belfast, in Derry, in Coleraine and Armagh, this is a cancer that affects cities and towns right across Northern Ireland. It's not just a small pocket of a certain area. This is going on all everywhere. You know, anywhere that there's a paramilitary presence in Northern Ireland, there's the same fear. There's the same potential for this to happen.
So the people who would have been advising the young daughter, her name is Toni, not to be shouting what she was shouting. And on social media, she says, "This is my daddy, the UVF." And then she uses the word bastards, stabbed him. So she was being advised by local people to stop shouting the like of that because they're so fearful of what might happen to them or to her.
Yeah, there's an older woman who's clearly heard in the recording that Toni put online, telling her, "Look, you're doing your daddy no good. Please stop. Please stop. You'll only make matters worse." Now, I'm paraphrasing, but it's words of those effect. Again, and for me, that's a crystallization of the problem we have here. This is neighbours. A man's lying dying with multiple stab wounds in the street. His daughter's distraught. She's wailing that the UVF murdered her father. And the neighbours are saying, "Look, calm down. Don't be saying that. You'll only make matters worse." And they're doing it they're doing it with good intentions. They are doing it because they love the UVF and they want to protect the UVF. They're doing it because of the welfare of the daughter at foremost in their minds.
Would witnesses go into court and speak against the murderers?
Well, again, I don't know. If I lived in Cluain Place and I saw what happened, I would have deep reservations about doing it myself. Because of the fallout from it, or the potential fallout from it. The UVF might say, you know, they might encourage people to cooperate with police, but that doesn't protect them. Maybe 5 years down the lane, maybe 10 years down the lane, when another UVF member sees them out and about in East Belfast and says, "Look, that's the fella there who stood a witness box and ID'd some of our men."
It is incredible. It's incredible to listen to. Kieran, you're across all of this all the time, of course, as the correspondent with the Sunday Life. And thanks for speaking to us this morning. Thank you.
No problem, Frank. Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Kieran Barnes, who covers stories like that, writes about them all the time online and in the Sunday Life. And it's just a reminder, isn't it, of the world which we live in and how worried and concerned we should be.